Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's done. The 35, the 30, the 40. He's done. He's done. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Woo-hoo. Kick up. Kick is on the way.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri goes to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Rogers Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
Midpoint of the NFL season. Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House Mike coming to you here this evening as Week 8 is down and out. As of last night, we're looking ahead to Week 9, and these two weekends kind of bracket what would be the midpoint of the NFL season. And as I sat putting things together last night and into today, looking at that Monday night football game and everything else that went down this past weekend, I came away thinking to myself, my gosh, there's actually more questions than there are answers right now. And when it comes right down to it, that's a good thing. I mean, we really don't want there to be two or three or four teams that are just completely running away with everything. What you want is basically what you have right now. And yet, I hear a lot of complaints that, boy, the product is mediocre. Seems to me, as a fan base, perhaps maybe we don't really know what it is we want. But taking a look at specific games, you know, dominant teams, can we not include the Oakland Raiders, who just seemingly keep on winning right now at this point? The Raiders, a team that we have sat around here for the past, or at least I have for the past season or two, and have said, hey, you know something? I'm looking forward to that team coming of age. And we're seeing it, folks. We're seeing that happen right now. No defense, mind you. Somehow or another, this team just keeps winning without a defense. But looking down their schedule, I'm going to be honest with you. And we might just very well do that here this evening. Well, looking down their schedule, it's possible that that's what they might just continue doing, winning. Now, how about those once scary Cardinals? I mean, really, when you think about it, the Cardinals. Isn't that a team that a year ago, even the year before that, everybody was sitting around saying, hey, these Cardinals, you know, it's not going to be long before they're leading the NFC West. Well, this past weekend, all they did was proceed to have a complete stinker against a team that they really shouldn't have lost to, and that's the Carolina Panthers. But somehow or another, they did just exactly that. We're going to take a look at that game here this evening. We're also going to take a look at that Falcons and Packers game, because I'm going to tell you something right now, and I said it last night, that might be a game that the Packers could be looking back on at the end of this season. They might be looking back at that very game and saying, what if, boys, what if that game had been different by just one more point, two more points. How about that one? Yeah. Eagles might be very well saying the exact same thing when it comes to that game that they played this past weekend against the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles came out on the opposite side of that one. Dallas Cowboys come out the winners. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys sit atop the NFC as the best team record-wise. The question I throw out there is, are they the best team, though, in the NFC? Really? And did the Eagles really lose that game on the field, or did they lose that game on the sideline? I've got my opinions on that one. We might get to that as well here this evening. And then we had Monday Night Football last night. And for the second week in a row, well, the Minnesota Vikings kind of looked the way I had been suspecting they may be looking this year. Yeah, some people are wondering, are they now, you know, is this a I said it last night, is this a reality check for that team? Other people this morning are saying, perhaps maybe that team is beginning to unravel. They lost to the Chicago Bears. And I got to tell you something. They didn't just lose to the Chicago Bears. They lost to the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears looked like the better team. They played like the better team. They were the better team. 20-10 last night. We're going to be taking a look at all those things. Oh, and by the way, today is the NFL trade deadline. And before I bring anybody else in here, before I even take a single phone call that might be coming in here this evening, let me give you the update for the NFL trade deadline. I can give it to you right now. Here it is. There you go. There's your NFL trade deadline update. Because that's exactly what occurred today in the NFL trade deadline. I've got my theories on what the NFL could do to spice that little bear up too as well. Anyhow, if anybody wants to jump in with us, don't hesitate. I'd appreciate it. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here for the next hour and a half or so as we break down everything that happened in Week 8 on the field. We're not going across bridges. We're not talking about guns. We're not talking about anything off the field. We're talking about what happened on the field. That's what we're going to do. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can hit us up in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Or if you care to, you can leave me a message over at Twitter. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter. I'm always checking my notifications. Let me get Brandon in here. It was an exciting day, Brandon, in the world of the NFL trade deadline. Did you notice all those things going down today that really got everybody's attention?
Well, it sounds just like a barn burner.
Yeah, it was.
There was a couple of negotiations that were happening I read about, but nothing happened. The Eagles were talking to the 49ers about Torrey Smith, apparently. Somebody was talking to the Browns about Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden, the cornerback. But no, nothing happened. So it turns out to be a, you know, kind of boring trade deadline.
Talking about things that were actually more exciting, that second tie game, my goodness, we've had two tie games in the NFL this season. That second tie game was more exciting than today's trade deadline. That tie game that took place between the Washington Redskins and the Cincinnati Bengals, 27-27, that game in London. Our good folks across the pond got a little bit of extra NFL action this past weekend. I, for one, Brandon, think that the NFL should push the trade deadline back. Make it later.
Well, they already have.
Make it. We've had this conversation. I think we've had this conversation multiple times here. Every year around this time, I think we have this conversation here on Frat House Sports. And every year I say the same thing. Make the damn trade deadline at week 10. Make it at week 11. You know, make it at week 12, for God's sake. Make it later. Then you're going to see some activity.
It's week 8 now. It was at one point like 5 or 6. So it's getting that way. They just ain't doing it all at once, I guess.
Mm. I mean, when you
Which
take a look
what
at
you
the...
want. you
no,
want it
it's
all
not.
Now.
No, I don't want it now at all. But it's, you know, the other sports have it later in their seasons. And, you know, if the NFL were to just prorate, you know, figure out what it would be prorated based upon what the other teams do, it would just make sense. I don't know, to me. I'm trying to think. You know, Major League Baseball, which is one of the longer seasons, end of July for the trade deadline. And I'm trying to think, let's see, July, August, September. Okay, so it's 2 months before their season concludes. So, yeah, whatever the equivalent would be. So that means what? They have like two-thirds of their season in the books. Two-thirds of their season in the books. So if we go with the 16 weeks, two-thirds would be,
Week 12. Week 12 would be three quarters. So.
Okay, all right.
It's probably like 10-ish.
Yeah, 10, okay, 10, I'll go along with 10. I think if it were 10, there'd be more activity, but anyhow. All right.
It's hard, honestly, though, in the NFL, it is hard to do trades because of the way the salary cap works, and then in baseball. Baseball, they have the, you know, like the luxury tax thing, and sometimes, you know, in the NFL, you can't make a trade happen the way you want. It just ain't going to work. You know, the dollars and cents can't line up sometimes. So
right.
That's part of why it's harder.
Well, that's an interesting point, and I did hear that discussed today on one of the talk radio programs I was listening to, where they said the comment was basically, you know, the CBA has made it almost not impossible, obviously. It's not impossible, but has made it prohibitive, has almost made it prohibitive to trade during the season, regardless of whether it would be at week 8 or week 10 or week 12. So, and more than likely, you're not going to be able to get that changed in the CBA. That's not going to be a negotiating point that's going to be amenable to the NFL Players Association. They like it the way it is. So, more than likely, that's...
Well, not necessarily, because it could be you know, a lot of times when a player is traded, a new contract comes along with that. So that could be beneficial to the players and players. I don't know that it's necessarily something they couldn't agree on at some point. But obviously, you know, that doesn't, you know, I don't know how much the NFL or either side would be willing to give anything up to make it happen, I guess, is kind of where I see. You know, I don't know if the NFL sees it as something that needs to change.
A sticking point
today. Yeah.
A sticking point, right? Of course,
get thrown in somewhere down the road. Who knows?
As we talked pre-show here, you know, how beneficial is it for your linebacker over there in New England?
Yeah,
who
right.
Got traded yesterday and. As was pointed out, he went to bed. He was 7-1, and when he woke up, he was 0-7 or whatever, or 0-8, whatever Cleveland is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they 0-8? Okay, so they haven't had their bye yet. They're probably on their bye this weekend because we have a load of teams coming up with their bye for week 9. But, all right. I'll tell you what. Let me touch on this for just a quick minute. And really, a quick minute. We won't spend a lot of time on it. Did I pull it up? I hope I did. Yes, I did. Okay. There were a number of places. Now, USA Today did not, which I'm surprised that USA Today, I think, actually has it ranked correctly. You know, you and I love to just tear apart the power rankings.
No,
and I'm
you
not gonna
love
spend...
to tear apart the power rankings.
Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I did want to bring up a disparagement here. There were a couple of media outlets that had the Arizona Cardinals at 3-3. I think they're 3-3-1. The Arizona Cardinals, I believe ESPN might have been one of them. They're 3-4-1, actually. 3-4-1. It makes it worse. They had the Arizona Cardinals ranked in the top 5. the Arizona Cardinals in the top five. Now, USA Today's got them ranked today 25. I don't know who in the world would put the Arizona Cardinals in the top five in power rankings. I mean, are you serious? You know, this is why we here think power rankings are stupid. You can't put the Arizona Cardinals, who are 3-4-1, in the top five in power rankings. You can't put them in the top 10, for God's sake. But I did want to – I just wanted to kind of bring that one up. Arizona Cardinals.
I don't even have a comment. It's so
I noticed that. I noticed that.
I don't even know what to say. I can't even dignify it with a response. I mean, it's just a stupid – another stupid reason not to even bother with the power rankings. I mean, you know, I can't. I don't even have any words. There's no. You can't do that. There's.
Okay.
I don't know how you could even call yourself legitimate.
He befuddling. He's just befuddled. He's without words. All right. Let's. Then I'll tell you what. We'll just transition right over to taking a look at the first game that I had on the agenda here for this evening. And a game that, that really, I think, I, you know, the longer this goes with Oakland playing as well as they are, Brandon, and, you know, I keep thinking to myself, boy, oh boy, you can almost feel the tension mounting between Oakland and Denver in the AFC West. You can feel it. You know, Oakland played earlier on Sunday. They played at the 1 o'clock spot because they were all the way across the country playing in Tampa Bay. So they had the 1 o'clock game. And as they're rocking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm sitting there saying, oh boy, this puts some pressure on Denver, doesn't it? Now, you know, Denver's got to keep pace. Denver's got to keep pace in order to maintain, you know, just staying even with the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders just seemingly find a way to keep winning every single week, and that's even without a defense. Now, this game, one of quite a few that went to overtime this past weekend. Oakland Raiders beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30-24. And it was an interesting game that kind of went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And you know, you kept thinking, well, one side's got the advantage. One side, you know, and then it would swing back again. At halftime, it was 10-3 Tampa Bay. By the conclusion of the third quarter, it was 17-10. And so now you're starting to think, okay, well, Oakland's gonna, you know, keep their foot on it, and they'll finish this game out. Oh no, here comes Tampa Bay. They come back with 14 points in the fourth quarter. Now it goes to overtime with a tie game, and Oakland gets the touchdown in overtime to win this thing 30-24. Derek Carr had a little extra advantage, obviously, from the overtime period, but boy, I would have liked to have had Derek Carr, not Trevor Siemian, on my fantasy team this past week, which is who I had, Trevor Siemian. 40-59, Derek Carr went. 40-59 for 513 yards. 513 yards, four touchdowns, and a 117.4 passer rating. And, you know, they had 128 yards on the ground. They had 513 yards through the air. Holy smokes. You know, Oakland's putting 600 and some yards up in offense. Versus Tampa Bay's 270 yards of offense from Tampa Bay. That's all they had. You know, the score looked pretty balanced. Obviously, it was. It went to overtime. And yet the stats are completely unbalanced. Wild, wild game between Oakland and Tampa Bay. And I got to tell you something. You got to start to, here we are at midseason, you got to start to think, I think Oakland's got a damn good chance of winning this division. What's your sense on the Oakland Raiders?
I would agree, because if you, you know, were listening, well, on Monday Night Countdown, they brought up that Derek Carr and Tom Brady are the two quarterbacks in discussion for MVP of the league this year. So, you know, that's telling you something about, you know, Derek Carr. I think Denver's – I don't know if Denver's defense is quite yet ready for, like, a Super Bowl run, but they certainly are, you know, they're certainly good enough to, you know, to get – at least a, you know, at least a playoff, you know, and maybe win the division. Another thing about the Raiders that I find impressive is they're 6-2, but they're 5-0 on the road already.
Yep.
In other words, they've played, you know, out of their eight games, they've played five road games already, and they won them all. So they still have, you know, five more games at home. Now, you know, they lost two out of three at home so far, so maybe that ain't good. But, you know, you would think that would favor them going down the stretch to be, at, you know, at home. You would think.
Yeah, I would. There's a number of things I think that are in their favor. Division-wise, they still have quite a few games. They're 1-1 in their division. One of the things I think they have coming up in their favor with regard to their schedule is the fact that they have a late bye. They're not even on bye yet this week. They're playing the Broncos this week. There you go. That game, you think – now, that game's going to be on our – that's got to be on our Thursday night pick'ems list.
What, the Broncos-Raiders? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be on the list. They get a bye after that game. So they get a Week 10 bye. So, you know, they're going to play the Broncos this week at home. They don't play the Broncos again until the very last game of the season – in Denver. I'm telling you, this could get really, really interesting between them and the Broncos. I just, like I said, I'm looking at their schedule, and a couple of games, obviously, you got to put a question mark by. You put a question mark by them. You know, you're pointing out their home record isn't quite as good as their road record. They're playing Denver this week. They're playing them at home. I don't know. Trevor Siemian, I thought, did not look very good last week at all. Every other component of the Denver Broncos, though, is clicking and clicking well. But then Oakland plays, after the bye, they play the Texans at home. They play the Panthers at home. They play the Bills at home. There's three games in a row right there that you would think they've got a good a shot at winning, okay? They got to play the Kansas City Chiefs then at Kansas City and
that's
the Raiders.
That's going to be a tough game.
But the Raiders lost to Kansas City earlier in the year at home. They got to play the Chargers at San Diego. And again, a division game, and the Chargers will find a way to play them tough. Then they host the Indianapolis Colts before ultimately they close out the season, as I pointed out, with Denver at Denver. This thing, honest to God, I'm going to tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4. I count at least four games right there, probably five. I can probably count five games that they're going to win. In addition to what they currently have right now, at least five. Because I think they'll split with the Denver Broncos. So
yeah,
I think you got five.
Right.
I think you got five
probably
wins there. So
20.
Run that by me again because you were breaking up.
I said which game do you think they lose? Do they beat? See, because the Raiders are – it's an interesting dichotomy because the Raiders are clearly good on the road at 5-0. Meanwhile, the Denver Broncos are 4-1 at home, so they're a good home team. And their stadium at home has always been a home field advantage because they play in the thin air, and a lot of the other teams aren't necessarily used to that. So, you know, which game do you count as a loss for the Raiders against the Broncos? Like, if you're saying they're going to split –
yeah, I think they could lose this weekend. you know.
And it's in Oakland this weekend.
It's in Oakland, yeah. I think they will win. I kind of think they could win that last game of the season.
Game for the season, though, may end up being for the division title.
Well, that's my point. If it's not for the division, all right? So, in other words, if one team or the other has it completely locked up and, well, then maybe there's, you know, maybe there won't be the quite the impetus on it. But I think if they've got their back to the wall, I'll be honest with you, I think Oakland plays with more tenacity when they're back to the wall right now than Denver does. I don't know. The fact that the Raiders have won two in a row on the road, they won this past week in Tampa Bay. They won in Jacksonville the week before. Now, that game was at home. Was that game at home or was that no, that was at Jacksonville. So they won in Jacksonville and then they won in Tampa Bay. The fact that they won those two games and now they're coming back home, I think they could have a little bit of a letdown. Then they're going to get their bye, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to be – I think they'll go on fire. I think they'll go on a tear. Texans, Panthers, Bills, I think they win all three of those. Then you got to go and play the Chiefs. Then you got to go and play the Chargers. Those are division games.
They'll probably split with the Chiefs. The Chargers, they may win both. Who knows? It's hard to say. The Chargers are so up and down. There's no consistency. They can put up points. The team can score. But, you know, and their defense isn't horrible. But yet, in the fourth quarter, Phillip Rivers just can't help but having a
meltdown.
A brain cramp. Yeah, and meltdown. Yep. They have had some of the most almost unbelievable losses this year, you know, in the fourth quarter. Games they had, had no business losing, and mm-hmm. and they lost. So, you know, I don't know. It's a tough team to call. I'll be honest, I have a couple Chargers on my fantasy team, and Melvin Gordon's been, like, rock solid as a running back. Travis Benjamin's kind of up and down, but he's still not, he's not horrible. I don't understand why the team is struggling quite the way they are, I guess is what I'm getting at. In other words, like, it's almost like they're making it harder than it has to be at the end of the game.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
I agree.
Last week against Denver, I mean, you said Trevor Siemian didn't look good, but he didn't look bad. I mean, the San Diego Chargers, you know, that they didn't win. They weren't close to winning. I mean, I think Siemian is just, he may be a bit of in the game manager category right now, but he's doing a good job. It's hard to knock him, you know, considering, you know, it's only his second year in the league. He wasn't a first round pick. You know, it's not like he's coming in the league with a pedigree of like, Carson Wentz or any of the other, you know, high number one picks. It's just, you know, I think he's doing pretty good. I like the way he's played better than when Paxton Lynch was playing. Paxton Lynch, to me, on the surface, looks like he has some rough edges that need, you know, smoothing out before he's ready. I think Trevor Siemian, at least, yeah, he may not be a superstar in the long run, but, you know, I think you got to like what you got. You know, and leading into this game against Oakland, I mean, I think Oakland's defense is solid, but I don't think they're all that. I think the Broncos are going to be able to, you know, put up some points, you know, and, you know, Trevor Siemian, I think he'll do all right.
Well, as I pointed out, I think that what is driving the Broncos right now is everything else around that team. It's their running game, okay? Excuse me. It's the fact that, you know, Siemian, when he can get a long ball off to, an Emmanuel Sanders or somebody like that. And then you've got the defense. You got the defense that's playing so darn well. So I think it's a lot of the other components of the Denver Broncos that are really holding that team up. It's not dissimilar, albeit I think it's probably not as noticeable that the other components are holding it up the way that it was last year when Peyton Manning was there. It was much more noticeable that it was everything else and not the quarterback. I think that Trevor Siemian, as you pointed out,
I think you could make an argument that Trevor Siemian's actually playing better. They're getting more out of their quarterback than they did last year.
Agreed. Yes. I agree with you.
It still may not be. It may not be Pro Bowl caliber. You know, it may not be. You know, anything like Peyton in his prime, or Tom Brady, or even like a Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? Give the guy, you know, the benefit of the doubt. He's it's his second year. He may, you know, he can possibly evolve into that. You don't know. You know, I like what we've seen so far. He makes good decisions with the football. He doesn't vastly overthrow his receivers. Every once in a while he's not on target, but he's not I wouldn't call him a bad quarterback in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, let's see here. I was just going to look up his numbers for the game against San Diego. Trevor Siemian was 20 of 38 for 276 yards, no touchdowns. He had an interception and a 65.2 passer rating. Those were Well, that's down from what he had been doing in the past. I will be honest with you. I will admit.
Yeah.
You know, I picked a bad week to put him on my fantasy team. But that's typical for Frat House Mike. I've been a week behind every one of the players that I have put on my fantasy team this season, which is why I'm currently 2-6. I'm a week behind. I don't know what the, you know, hey, listen, you know, my gut senses, my spider sense is tingling at the wrong time. That's all I can tell you. So, no, his numbers were not as good as he has been recently. But as you point out, they found a way to win that game. And, you know, they won it on defense. That's where they won the game.
Yeah, especially now with the loss of C.J. Anderson for the year, the Broncos are going to have to, you know, come up with new ways to manufacture, you know, things going forward. I mean, I think that's a loss. That's, you know, that could be a pretty big loss. That's a big dimension of the game they're not going to have anymore moving forward. So, you know, we'll see. So far, they've managed to, you know, they managed to win the first week without him. So let's see what happens.
They're hoping that Devonta Booker could be the guy. Booker brings a little bit of a different aspect to the ground game. He's also he can receive passes out of, you know, down the sideline. You know, so he's got that little bit of down and out threat. So I think that that's kind of what they're hoping for there. But last week was not, but somehow or another, Denver managed to win that game. And like I said, I think, you know, when you take a look at it, the help came from the defense. I mean, there was a defensive touchdown for Denver in that game. That certainly helped when they really, really needed one. I was just looking to see, was there a special teams? There might have been a special teams touchdown in that game as well. No, there wasn't. Okay, there wasn't a kickoff or a punt return. But, you know, so, all right, well,
it's
Oakland,
going to be
though.
An interesting, the whole point
oh,
of
I
this
think,
is it's going to be
I
an
think,
interesting AFC West
yeah,
battle
there,
between
no doubt
the
about
teams.
It. I think the second half between Denver and Oakland is just going to be, it's going to be fun to watch. It's just going to be really, really fun to watch. And, you know, I still hold on to a little bit of my, you know, fandom for Denver. So it kind of makes it tough because I'm really rooting for Oakland almost on a daily or on a weekly basis as well. So kind of fun to just sit back and watch what's going to happen with this whole thing. You know, I kind of hope that they stay even with each other. That's the way I'd like to see it go anyhow.
Well, then you're rooting for a tie this week. Is that the way I understand that?
Oh God, no! I don't want any more ties. I want no more ties. Lord.
I had to throw it in there.
You know, the last thing we need, the last thing we needed was another tie. I don't want any ties. I'm not opposed to the NFL having it as a tie. In other words, all right, so if it goes the extra quarter and it's a tie, all right, it gets recorded as a tie. But I don't want to see more than one a year. That's it.
Well, you've already seen two, so...
We've seen two. We've seen two, and for gosh sakes, didn't we have... We just got done talking about one. Didn't we have three games that went to overtime this past weekend?
That.
The Eagles and Cowboys went to overtime.
Well, that wasn't even close to being a tie, though. In other words, like, didn't Dallas take the opening kickoff down for a touchdown eventually on the first drive?
They did.
First possession? So that wasn't even close to being an overtime tie.
No, none of them were really close to a tie with the exception of the Washington game, which actually did end as a tie. But, there were three games that went to overtime. So we had three games, all right, including the tie. Redskins and Cincinnati that went to 27-27 in London, and then the Raiders and Buccaneers went to overtime, and then the Eagles and the Cowboys went to overtime. So, three overtime games. Ugh.
I like overtime games generally.
That's a lot of exciting. Overtime.
I don't like them when they end in a tie. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be a way to, you know, in football, I don't know. I guess, you know, it's not safe to keep playing. I mean, you know, the players get tired after, you know, five quarters. I mean,
so
you know, you're probably, your injury rate would probably go through the roof if you played a six. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the best answer is. Maybe something like hockey where they do a shootout. What would be a shootout? Field goals
No. Stop it. Stop it. Somebody suggested that they do the college rule. Imagine? Well, that's essentially a shootout, dude. That's what you're asking for.
I don't like. No, I wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, something, you know, after they play another quarter and it's still a tie. You know, I don't know. Because in the playoffs, it just keeps going. It don't end, you know, until somebody wins at that point. So.
Exactly, in the NHL, right, okay.
No, I'm talking even in football.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll just keep playing quarter after quarter until it's over.
Well, okay, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not opposed to a tie getting recorded as a tie if it goes a full quarter. See, I don't want the guys playing more than a full quarter because then you're running risk of injury and guys are getting tired. Now we're getting into – you know, they played the equivalent of a game and a half. And, you know, recovery time from all of that. One quarter, that's good enough. And if it ends as a tie after a quarter, all right, I accept the fact it gets recorded as a tie. You're not even in favor of that, though, it sounds like.
Well, I don't know. It just seems to me, you know, football is just such a hard game. To have it end like that as a tie, I don't know. It's got to be disappointing for the players. You know what I mean? I mean, you bust your, you know what, for 60 minutes playing the game, and now you got nothing to show for it, essentially. You know? I mean, like I said, I don't know. It's something about a tie in the NFL. It just seems, I don't know what the word would be. It's just, I don't know. There's just something disappointing about it.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm okay with it. I just don't want to see a preponderance of them.
Well, we've already seen two this year.
I know.
More so than we've seen in the past.
I can't remember the last time we've seen two. Now, I'll have to go back and research that and see when the last time was we actually had four teams with a tie in their tie column. I'll have to go back and check on that. I mean, the last time we had two teams with a tie was 2 years ago. And then I think it was 2 years before that, there was a team with a tie. There was it might have been that Seattle, and it was out in the NFC West 4 years ago, I believe. I think it might have been Seattle and Arizona. I think there was one out there in the NFC West. 4 years ago, maybe it was 5 years ago. But anyhow, I can't remember the last time we had four teams with a tie. I'll look that one up at some point, and maybe I'll bring that one up to date on Thursday night. Well, I'll tell you what. Since I brought up the NFC West, take a look at the Arizona Cardinals. They were on the road, and they had to play the Carolina Panthers. And Carolina Panthers, they actually made this look easy, despite the fact Cam Newton had no touchdowns. 30-20, Carolina beat Arizona. And you got to start wondering when you start thinking, well, these Arizona Cardinals aren't exactly the Arizona Cardinals that we got used to seeing for a season or two, where everybody was afraid of the Arizona Cardinals, where everybody was afraid to go out and have to play them, that the NFC West was, you know, going to be dominated by either Seattle or Arizona. Arizona Cardinals, we've talked about it. It feels like, Brandon, almost from like week two or three on here on the program, they're not looking like the same team. Palmer does not look like the same Carson Palmer. And yet Arizona is in second place in the NFC West.
Well, they have the benefit of being in a bad division. And let's face it, this game, you know, is an epitome of teams that are disappointments for the season. I mean, the Carolina Panthers were the NFC representing the Super Bowl last year. Everybody thought, oh, well, they're only going to get better. They got Kelvin Benjamin back. They got a whole nother, another year. You know, there's no way, that this team doesn't get better. Well, not only have they not gotten better, they seemingly have taken a step or two back somehow. And now you got Cam Newton does is sit there and whine about, getting hit after the ball, after the play, and not getting the calls. And, he's storming out of other press conferences, yet they somehow, find a way to win this game. Like, how do you make heads or tails of that when you got all this going on at the same time? I honestly think I was kind of in the area of thinking, well, okay, the Cardinals can still pull this out because they're in a weak division. I don't know. They may be to a point where they can pull it out. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how this all shakes out. Both these teams were expected to go deep
Yep.
into the playoffs. And at this point in time, I don't know. The only thing that's a saving grace in my mind for the Cardinals is I don't think Seattle's all that, and they're another team with a tie. So, that's going to be interesting how that division plays out. I mean, you look at it right now, Seattle's 4-2-1, Arizona, and they've had their bye already. Arizona's on a bye this week, and they're 3-4-1. So basically there'll be a game apart if Seattle loses this week. Now, I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I don't know who they're playing, but, everything you hear, Russell Wilson's playing on one leg. They did a big, rundown of it on Monday Night Countdown last night for the Monday Night Football game. He's hurt. He's got, an MCL ligament that's still, healing, that most players would have been out 4 to 6 weeks for. He's playing through it. The interesting stat they compared to this year is Tom Brady's played in, four games, has the exact same number of rushing yards as Russell Wilson, who's a running quarterback. They both have 44 yards for the year. So, that's a whole dimension of the Seattle offense that's just gone right now because Russell Wilson clearly can't run.
Yep.
So, I think, circling back to this Cardinal game, I think that could be the saving grace for the Cardinals if they're playing in such a bad division. The Rams are god-awful. The 49ers are a joke. I mean, Chip Kelly is, I don't even know what the word is for that. And I don't think Seattle's all that, personally.
And you know what's crazy about this is that preseason, who would have been saying that the NFC West is a quote-unquote, as you say, weak division? Yeah, we were all saying the NFC East is the weak division. Now we're saying NFC West is the weak division, and we might be getting wild cards out of the NFC East. I mean, how crazy is this all?
You might have a fight for wild cards in the NFC East, going.
You could.
I mean, good Lord.
Washington went and bollocks things up by getting a tie.
Well, yeah, plus you have the Giants and Eagles. They're all at 4-3.
Yep.
And the Redskins have the tie because they've already – or I guess they're on the bye this week. So, yeah, that's another team that's on the bye this week that threw my fantasy team into havoc. I don't think I've ever had – you know, I know when the season started, I was in good shape for the byes. You know, not with the changes that I've had to make as the season goes for injuries and, you know, just players who aren't performing. I ended up with such a mess this week. I don't know how it works out like that, but I managed to piece it all together without hurting my main team too much.
That's the only thing that I've done a good job of managing with my fantasy team.
The bye.
I have not had bye issues at all.
I've never had more than either one kicker or one defense. I've never had two of each because I managed it with the buys that I either, you know, I'm done with kickers unless my kicker gets hurt. And after this week, I'm done with defenses unless, you know, I have the New England defense because I like their defense. I like the way they always do well in fantasy. They're consistent. You know, they don't ever lay an egg, but, you know, they may not put up the big 30-point number, you know, with lots of scores and all that, but, you know, they're good for the 15, 16 to 18 every week. So I'll take that consistency out of that spot. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to divulge.
You know, you're asking about Seattle and who Seattle might play. Seattle is at home this week hosting the Buffalo Bills.
That is not a no-brainer. That game could go either way.
Well, listen, not according to the folks in Vegas. They've got Seattle as a 7-point favorite.
Buffalo has been disappointing recently, but they were on a little winning streak
Buffalo doesn't travel well. That's
I don't think anybody travels well to Seattle because Seattle is always
Oakland
it.
Oakland does okay traveling to Florida.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about Seattle's between their 12th man, their loud crowd, and their miserable weather. It's always cloudy, overcast, and misty, and they're half the time playing in a rain, wet, you know, environment. So, you know, a lot of teams don't do well to that. So, you know, that's what I meant by, you know, traveling well to Seattle. Seattle's one of those teams. There's a couple teams in this league who, to me, have a distinct home field advantage when they're at home. In, you know, Denver, obviously, we've talked about the Mile High air. Seattle, I think the crowd is just, you know, so revved up. And even the weather conditions out there, you know, they play in miserable conditions more often than not just because it rains, 260-some days a year out there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something ridiculous. I don't know how anybody could live in Seattle and be happy. But anyway, sorry. It's just the weather's just so gloomy all the time. You know, another team I think has a good home field advantage is Kansas City. I think
Kansas City gets incredible
fan support. I mean, it's always everybody's in red. They're loud. You know, they're this. I mean, I think there's a few teams that have a distinct home field advantage, and you know, I think Seattle's one of them, and they do benefit from that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's
so,
no doubt about
that. Unless Arizona can straighten themselves out, I think this is Seattle's division to lose at this point. And, you know,
Absolutely, positively phrased appropriately, their division to lose, because we are not talking about a dominating Seattle team in any respect whatsoever. Since I just happened to pull the lines up for this coming week for week 9, we have been talking about that Oakland and Denver matchup. That will be the Sunday night game. That's 8:30.
Good. I like that. I like having a good you know, division game like we had this past week with Eagles and Cowboys. I know it didn't work out quite the way you would have liked as an Eagle fan, but, and I was rooting for the Eagles too, but I seem like I'm almost like a Cowboys supporter because I just like the way Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are playing as rookies. I think keep winning, you know, even when they don't look good. And I don't think they looked particularly good this week again, you know, against the Eagles, but you know, they still find a way to win. So I don't want to sound like a Cowboy, you know, supporter, but
but I'm the one over here sitting here with Dak Prescott on my fantasy team.
Now, you were high on Dak Prescott from the preseason, though. I mean,
you
were impressed
from the draft.
Yeah, even from the draft. I mean, you were impressed by his play. And certainly his play in preseason certainly didn't do anything to dissuade that, you know.
I wanted my Eagles to draft Dak Prescott. That's why
I'll be honest
Eagles
with you. I didn't think, you know, when he was putting up all those gaudy numbers in the preseason, I was saying, well, wait till the regular season starts. Wait till he plays, you know, frontline starters. And what does he do? He just keeps winning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said this 18 times every week. I mean, he's one, you know, bad time management drive away from being undefeated. And we're at a week 8 now. That's unbelievable. For two rookies at quarterback and running back, you know, to be that good that quickly. I mean, those are two key places, you know, key spots on offense. And you're 6-1, you know, at this point. And like I said, the only loss they had was just a mental breakdown of receivers not getting out of bounds when they needed to. I hate to sound like a Cowboys, you know, beating their drum, but, you know, you can't not be impressed with what they've done up until this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll jump over to that game here momentarily. But that Oakland-Denver game will be the 8:30 game on Sunday night. A couple of interesting things coming out of the line here. Oakland is favored by just, at this point right now, just 1 point. So forget it.
And they're the home team.
Forget it. That should be, well, yeah, really. That should almost be a pick 'em. But you know what I find interesting,
so
Brandon?
So that way you're saying on a neutral field, though, that the Broncos are a 3-point better team.
Correct.
And I don't know if I'm willing to say that right yet. I think the Broncos have the better defense, but I think the Raiders clearly have the better offense. So we're going to see the old, you know,
there's no doubt about that. They have
more
defense. I mean, the excuse me, Raiders defense is ranked 31st out of 32. So
yeah, but I don't think they're as bad as all that. I mean, you can't be 6-2 and have a horrible defense. Yeah, you might give up points, you might give up yards, but when a push comes to shove, they do enough to win the game. So, you know, I don't know. Sometimes them rankings can be deceiving, you know, with a 6-2 team. You know, I realize that, you know, the Raiders' offense is solid and Derek Carr's, you know, in the talks for, you know, MVP-type season. But, you know, it's hard to knock a team's defense when they're, you know, with that kind of record.
Well, I mean, I'll hear you. There have been an awful lot of points scored in Raiders games. Excuse me. And that's one of the things I wanted to bring up with regard to this Raiders-Denver game. The thing that jumps out at me is the over-under on the game. It's 44, which is rather low compared to many of them on the board. I mean, Green Bay and Indianapolis, the over-under on that game is 54. Over-under on Atlanta and Tampa Bay is 51.5. Over-under on New Orleans and San Francisco is 52. So Oakland and Denver, over-under 44. That's conservative, considering Oakland gives up some points. So I find that projection to be interesting. All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's, because we got about 30 minutes already. Wow, I can't believe an hour's flown by already. If anybody wants to jump in with this, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here. Otherwise, you could hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can hit me on Twitter. Let's jump over and take a look at that Eagles and Dallas Cowboys game, which I thought was actually, well, all right, look, let's put it this way. To me, there were two games. The Eagles won the first game, and the Cowboys won the second game. Or the Eagles shot themselves in the foot and gave this game away to the Dallas Cowboys, because really, when it comes right down to it, in my opinion, this was a game that the Eagles should have won. Now, they should have won it, and it should have never gone to overtime to begin with. And they had multiple opportunities to do so. I frankly think that Carson, and I hear what you're saying about Dak Prescott and how well he has played, and he has. I take nothing away from him throughout this entire season. However, I actually believe that Carson Wentz played a better game in this one against the Dallas Cowboys than Dak Prescott played against the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz was 32 of 43 for 202 yards. He had a touchdown and no interceptions and a 91.4 quarterback rating. Dak Prescott was 19 of 39 for 287 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, and a 79.4 passer rating. It was very, very interesting, Brandon, how much the Eagles used Darren Sproles. In fact, you don't see Darren Sproles used the way that he was used this past week. And frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, it always makes me nervous. Because Darren Sproles, being as small as he is, and with some of the hits he took, I really didn't know if it was a smart move to have him carrying the ball 15 times. But he got 86 yards on the ground versus Ryan Matthews, who only got 10 yards on the ground and only had four carries. It was an obvious pullback from Ryan Matthews. I don't know why. I don't know what the motivation was. Why?
No, they said it's been since that game where he fumbled late, cost them the game.
What, the Detroit game?
He's been seeing less carries because of that. Apparently, yeah, I think he had another game after that with a fumble in it as well. So he's dealing with a little bit of, you know, fumble issues, I think. I think they feel more secure putting the ball in Sproles' hands versus Ryan Matthews right now.
I don't know. I don't think they have the luxury of
You worry about the hit, but I mean, Ryan Matthews is hurt every year too. So it's not, you know, it's like he's more fragile. I mean, Sproles is tough. He's little, but he's tough. He doesn't miss many games due to injury, you know, and Ryan Matthews seems to miss, you know, five or six a year. Now, so far this year, he's not been injured, but, you know, that's been his.
I think he did actually miss a game already.
For injury?
I think so. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's missed one game.
Well, I like what I see when Sproles has the ball. I think Sproles does a good job catching out of the backfield, does a good job. I think he returns the punts. I think he's a primary punt returner. And he does a good job running out of the backfield. He's quick. I forget how old they said he was, but he's in his 30s. He hasn't slowed down at all. If he's on the team, you know, you might as well, you know, take advantage of it. I understand. I get your point. I get how you could be nervous about all those touches, but, you know, you got to win the games. I mean, what good does it do you, you know, if you're not winning? So,
well,
I don't know.
I understand. It just seems to me that when you have I understand what you're saying about Ryan Matthews, but when you have a guy who I think is better suited to be, who's just physically better suited to be taking the punishment than Darren's, I don't know. It was evident to me that somehow or another, some reason or another, they're opting not to go to Ryan Matthews. And frankly, I don't know if now is the time to be wagging a finger at Ryan Matthews and saying, you know, we're going to teach you a lesson. You know, come on, get off of it already. You don't have many options. Let's stop playing games. That's just my personal opinion. Ezekiel Elliott ended up with 96 yards. Now, I guess maybe the Eagles defense should be happy. They held him under 100, but just barely. So, you know, really when it comes right down to it, I thought the game was actually pretty even, albeit I still think that the Eagles probably should have won this game. And, you know, like I said about Green Bay, possibly later on, you know, as they get closer to the end of the season, if you know, Green Bay could very well be looking at that game, and we'll talk about that one next, that game between themselves and the Falcons where they only lost by 1 point, they could be looking in the rearview mirror and looking at that one going, that's the what-if game. What if, well, the Eagles could be doing the same darn thing here. This could be their what-if game. This could be the game that they look at, because had they won this game, they would be leading the NFC East. Go ahead. You were going to make a comment about my comment about Ryan Matthews or whatever, but go ahead.
I was going to say the one thing that stands out to me, you know, you were kind of doing a little quarterback comparison there. Carson Wentz needs to figure out how to get the ball down the field. His average completion is so short. In this game, it was 4.7 yards. Ezekiel Elliott had an average of 4.4 per rush.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know, 4.7 per pass is just, that's not good. I don't know, we were kind of talking about that a little bit here, you know, probably, you know, pre-show. Is it a scheme issue? Is it a personnel issue with the wide receivers that they currently have? You know, whatever it is, they need to, you know, I'm surprised it's so low because, I mean, guys like Darren Sproles, you know, they throw a screen pass to him. It's good for 10, 12 yards. I don't understand, you know, why they're not, that number's not higher. You know what I mean?
It has been something that's been talked about a lot here on Philly Sports Radio. It's been something analysts have come on and talked about. Sal Palantonio talked about it. Mike Mayock of NFL Network talked about it. That it is absolutely evident that there is something in the game plan here where they're holding Carson Wentz back from, you know, firing the long ball. I don't know if that is a design thing. I don't know if it's a lack of confidence in Carson Wentz. I'm thinking it's more of a lack of confidence in the receiving core.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. Which I wouldn't blame them for because, you know, we saw this a little bit last year under the last year with Chip Kelly, you know, and that is this receiving core just not being able to hold on to the ball. And I don't stinking get it. I frankly had it with all of them. You know, you heard me go off on it yesterday. I've had it with Nelson Aguilar. I've had it with Jordan Matthews. I've had it with Dorial Green Beckham. I've had it with all of them. I would ship them all off. Honest to God, I mean, I'm just sick of watching it. You know, balls being thrown right into their hands, and you know, they're not getting them.
Yep.
I mean, there was one. Wasn't there one that you and I saw? Was it Sunday night? Wasn't there a long pass on Sunday night to DGB? And you and I said
he couldn't have thrown it any better.
He couldn't have thrown it any better. It was right there.
Yep.
I mean, and it would have been a touchdown. It would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, that's definitely the problem with the offense right now is the receiving core. And you know, that's why, you know, we joked about the, you know, the crickets at trade deadline, but the Eagles were, you know, one of the teams that were actively trying to make a trade for a wide receiver. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. You know what'll happen down the road this season? Maybe somebody will get cut. Somebody will have an injury settlement that was on IR or something. Maybe they'll have an opportunity to pick up somebody who can help, you know, like a veteran. I don't know. We've seen other, you know, just today, Percy Harvin came out of retirement for the Bills.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, he's actually not that bad. He's 28 years old. He's, you know, he was dealing with a lot of health issues. I don't know if, you know, maybe that he had some enough time all way and he's feeling good and he's going to come back. We'll see how long it lasts, but you know, maybe, you know, the Eagles can find something like that around, you know, next couple of weeks. I don't know. As good as the team started and as good as Carson Wentz has looked as a rookie, it's a shame, but that receiving corps is going to keep this team from doing much this year, unfortunately.
I might agree with you.
I'm not saying they still can't get a wild card. I think the division's done. I think Dallas, you know, winning that, you know, I think they have enough separation now. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's only two games, but I Dallas really starts to lose it somewhere along the lines. I think this is definitely their division. You know, they're in firm control. Let's just say that. I'm not going to say it's theirs to lose because, you know, that's the wrong analogy. They're not playing not to lose. They're winning games. So, you know, I don't want it to sound that way. They're definitely in firm control of the NFC.
Well, you know, listen, if worse comes to worse, apparently the report was that Terrell Owens had offered his services to the Philadelphia Eagles. So he said,
go away already.
Ready to go. You know, yeah.
How long has it been since he played in the NFL?
Well, he's Hall of Fame eligible, isn't he? I think he's Hall of Fame eligible.
No, because he's going to go.
Oh, well, then it's only four.
It's less than 5 years, but he's going to he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He put up enough stats over the years, and you know, he's obnoxious, and you know, but you can't take away what he did in his career. I think he's, you know, delusional if he thinks he can still play. You know, it's probably got to be close to 45 at this point.
42.
Mm-hmm. And he's been out of the game for at least three, maybe four seasons. Yeah, you're delusional if you think you can suit up and be anything other than a sideshow on the field. Even Randy Moss, who's probably a couple years younger, doesn't make those comments anymore. He's pretty happy in his new role on the Monday Night Show on ESPN. I think Randy Moss is actually doing a pretty he never struck me as to be as personable as he is. You know, as a media person, he's actually surprising me. He always seemed a bit standoffish and reclusive and didn't want to talk. And yet now he's on the other side of the microphone. And I'll be honest with you, he's pretty damn good. he's entertaining on that show. You know, as bad as the NFL Sunday show has taken a hit, I think the Monday night show is actually, you know, probably the best show they have going right now.
Just a FYI,
mm-hmm.
Terrell Owens' last game was in 2010.
Wow.
Yeah. He played 14 games for the Cincinnati Bengals. You might remember he was over there with, what's his name?
Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson, right, and Ocho Cinco. And in that season, T.O. had 9 touchdowns and amassed 983 yards.
Not any bad.
Mm-hmm. Not bad at all, I think, for a final season.
I think he was probably on a roster in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe he is eligible. I don't know. I have to look at his Hall of Fame eligibility.
So,
because I'll be honest, if he's eligible and he didn't go in, I think that's a little miscarriage there of the Hall of Fame for not. He's clearly one of the best receivers in his era. I mean, I don't know. I don't like the guy personally, but, you know, his talent. When he was at the peak of his game, he was unstoppable. So, I don't know.
What made him distasteful was his ego. That's what made him the most. Right, yeah. That's what it was. But, you know, that was the same complaint against Deion Sanders. You know, I remember the people that hated Deion Sanders for the exact same reason. And you can't take anything away from Deion Sanders. It's the same principle. Two different positions, clearly the same principle.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, anyhow, all right. So you're saying, well, you think it's going to be Dallas's division. Anyhow, all right. We'll see how that goes as it continues. We'll take a look at
unless they start playing bad, you know, or they do something stupid like put Tony Romo back in when he's healthy. You know, to me, that would be catastrophic at this point. I think the chemistry they have right now, you can't screw with this team. But you know, sure. Never know.
Excuse me. I think after this past weekend, I think that conversation has to be put to bed, even for myself.
Well,
that's just, you know.
I'm just worried, Jerry Jones, you know. He's been known to do crazy stuff sometimes.
And that's why I've been saying up to this point, I don't think there's a sure bet. I don't think there's a sure bet that Tony Romo doesn't get back in there. But let me just check here real quick, because I got to tell you, the crazy thing is, as of right now, projection on fantasy football for Dak Prescott in our league is 0.00 for this week.
What?
Uh-huh. They are anticipating that... they're anticipating, I believe, that Tony Romo is going to get the start. They've got – I cannot put Dak Prescott in right now showing 0.00. That's the projected number for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, something's not right there. Are they – maybe they're – no, they already had their bye. No.
Nope.
I don't know.
They had their bye. They had their bye. I'm just going and looking up. Well, they got Tony Romo zeroed out, too. So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the deal is. But right now,
Dak Prescott is going to be the guy. I don't know. No, Dallas is on a bye this week. Or no, they're coming off a bye. Yeah, no. I don't know.
No, they're not coming off a bye.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
No, they had their bye. We played
them
right. When they were coming off their bye. Teams on bye this week include Arizona, Chicago, Cincinnati, Houston, New England, and Washington. Those are your teams on bye for this week. In fact, I got to put that up over in our fantasy group. I got to notify everybody of that. All right. Let's get over real quick. Take a look at the Atlanta Falcons, who beat the Green Bay Packers last week, 33-32. This takes Atlanta to 5-2, drops Green Bay to 4-3 on the season. Matt Ryan, 28-35, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 129.5 passer rating. Aaron Rodgers damn near matched him, almost throw for throw. It was crazy. 28 of 38 for Aaron Rodgers, 246 yards, 4 touchdowns, 125.5 passer rating. I don't know if I can remember a game where you saw two quarterbacks who played almost identical games stat-wise, but that's what you've got there. Green Bay even got their ground game going a little bit. All of that was on Aaron Rodgers, believe it or not, who had 60 yards. What in the world happened to Ty Montgomery? Was he injured?
No, he had an illness due to a sickle cell trait, and they had to leave him out of the game because of that.
Oh, boy. All right. I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently that was a previously diagnosed issue, and apparently, I don't know, I think when you have that, if you have just a common cold, can put you at, severe respiratory, problems if you play during the game. And I mean, a lot of players who have that trait won't even suit up in Denver because of the respiratory
because
issues
the,
that come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thin air and the sickle cell trait could, you know, be deadly. So, you know, maybe he had a cold or something flared up that he couldn't, you know, and they just, he can't play through that apparently. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's why he was held out of the game. Yeah, and you're right. They were probably counting on him to be a big part of the game, especially considering after the game they put Nile Davis, who they traded for to the Chiefs, on waivers. The reason they put him on waivers, they must not like what they saw, because a stipulation of the trade was that he had to be on their roster for 3 weeks. Well, he was on for two and they let him go. So they owe Kansas City nothing, but it's hard to believe that, you know, Nile Davis is that bad that you don't even give him a shot. I mean, I don't even remember seeing him carry the ball for the Packers. So I don't know. As a matter of fact, the Jets picked him up on waivers.
Just picked him up.
I mean, Matt Forte's, you know, they're not having an issue with that I'm aware of at running back. Why are they going after him? But they did.
Well, the Jets are expected to sign Nile Davis and CJ Spiller.
Mm. Wow. Is something wrong with Forte that we don't know about?
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, they don't have to sign Nile Davis. They got him. They were rewarded him on waivers. So they just inherited his contract the way it was coming into it. So that's not even a signing. That's just a claim, basically. CJ Spiller, oh, God. He talk about a guy who went from being one of the highest-rated running backs in the league, can't even get on the field now. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't read anything about Matt Forte being injured of any kind, but
no, and there's nothing on Roto World either. I'm reading the updates right now on Roto World on Matt Forte, and all good, no problems. He's projected for his normal 9 points over on Yahoo for the
week. Okay, hold on. They got him on waivers, but they're going to cut him to sign C.J. Spiller. So why they even put a waiver claim in for Nile Davis? I don't even know if he made the trip to New York. But it says, I just see an article right now on PFT where the Jets are signing Spiller and they're going to cut Nile Davis, who they were awarded earlier today. Okay, that makes sense. Well, that's the Jets. What do you expect? That makes
no
sense.
If anybody else had put in a waiver claim for him, Brandon, would it automatically go to them then?
No, he has to start all over.
Or would they have to reapply for the waiver?
New waiver. The article even says that he was awarded. They claimed him today. The Jets are waiving him, which means he'll be back on the waiver wire Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
Any team that would have put in that didn't get him, and the Jets did, I would have to reapply and reclaim.
Right.
Okay, got you.
You know, right, maybe the Jets did it just to tie him up for a couple of days to keep him off who are they playing this week? You know, maybe they're just doing a little backhanded blocking or something there, you know, because, you know, most teams are not going to be making personnel. Tuesday's the off day in the league for the players. You know, so the teams usually use Tuesday as the day to try out free agents and make any, additions or subtractions that you need to do. So, you know, once Wednesday comes, you're in the game plan. You're not looking at, you know, I'm sure they keep an eye on the waiver wire, but, you know, Nile Davis may just sneak through without getting claimed now because of the way the timing goes in the NFL week. And certainly if he does get picked up, he's certainly not going to be a factor probably in any team's game plan at this point, because it's too late. It'll be too late in the process.
Yeah, I got you on that. Okay.
So maybe the Jets were doing some kind of
well, the Jets
play keep away with him.
Yeah, I don't know who they'd be playing keep away with, but Jets are scheduled to be in Miami to play the Dolphins.
Well, there you go.
Sunday.
Maybe the Dolphins are one of them, and they're higher. Who's higher in the rankings? Who would get the first claim? That's what you got to look at in cases like this. You know, maybe the Jets are trying to keep him off of Miami's roster. Although, the Jets are lower in the standings than the Dolphins, so the Jets have one more loss. So, yeah, they would have been higher. That could be. I don't know. Is Miami? I don't think Miami's in trouble. They got that Jay Ajayi guy or Jahi or however you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of lighting
him up. Everybody's
so
high on. Everybody's high on him. So, Aaron Rodgers 6 carries for 60 yards though, Brandon. Holy smokes!
Yeah, he was running a lot in that game.
My God, I don't know if I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers run for 60 yards ever. This was a tough game for Green Bay to lose. I mean, I had projected them to win the game. I think you had projected them to win the game. And we both lost out on that one, but, I didn't see this coming, and I certainly didn't see it coming that they would lose by, just a mere point, to Atlanta. I mean, this one really could come back and bite Green Bay in the butt if, in fact, if it turns out to be a dogfight for their division with Minnesota.
You are correct. That's a game you don't need to lose to a team that's very beatable. You know, I don't know how it got so close, and I guess I'm giving Green Bay's defense more credit than they deserve. I mean, but, you know, clearly it didn't, you know, again, you know, an Atlanta game with 65 points scored between the two teams. So, you know, there wasn't much defense being played on either side of the ball, you know, but you're right. I think this is a game that's could come back to haunt the Packers down the road when they're maybe playing wild card weekend instead of that home field advantage.
Yep.
On, you know, it depends, because I think Minnesota's kind of struggling a little bit right now too. So that division may end up just being a one team in the playoffs and done kind of division the way it's playing out. I mean, and you know, not that I'm ready to call it anything good, but I mean, you got to at least pay attention to what, you know, Cutler did in his return last night on Monday Night Football. They look pretty solid at times, you know. Especially compared to the way they looked earlier, and you know that could be a problem for the Vikings, the Packers, as they have to play them, the Bears.
And you know, considering I'm just looking at the clock here. We got about 5 minutes, I guess, remaining in the program here. We can blend in conversation about that game from last night, because I mean, you're right. Here's Jay Cutler, who hadn't played since what, week one.
Week two, I think he got hurt.
Week two, okay. Comes back, and yeah, he looked good. I'm going to tell you what I thought looked even better was the Chicago defense looked even better as they went in and sacked Sam Bradford 5 times and, knocked him around a lot. I mean, second week in a row, Sam Bradford has taken a beating. He got hit by the defense 9 times, sacked 5 times. Incredibly didn't have an interception. I don't know how he didn't. But in my opinion, second week in a row, I thought Sam Bradford looked very, very mediocre. I mean, this started, and in many respects, I just kind of sit back. I kind of keep my mouth shut. I grin a little bit because, you know, everybody was real high on this Sam Bradford move, and oh, he's playing great out there in Minnesota. And I've been sitting back going, I think it's just a matter of time before this all just starts to implode. And you got to wonder whether, in fact, you're starting to see that. It's one thing when they lose to Philadelphia, who, I mean, has a pretty good defense by all accounts, statistically included. But then you lose by 10 points to the Chicago Bears, and you never even look like you were actually really even in the game. You're even admitting, it sounds like now, Brandon, that there might only be one team that comes out of this division Yes, it could be Green Bay. Yes, I guess it could be Minnesota. But neither team looking terribly dominant.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's still up for grabs. I think Minnesota had a bad break this week because they only had Asiata. McKinnon was out for the week. But McKinnon, I think, is projected to be back. And they're even saying Adrian Peterson will be back at some point this year. So, you know, they may be, you know, they may still have a shot to be, you know, decent throughout the rest of the season. We'll have to, you know, again, Sam Bradford really has only been on the team since week one. You know, he can only get better. I'm surprised he didn't hit this kind of wall he's hitting now earlier, though. You know, I would have thought if he was going to struggle, because he really didn't look like, you know, when he came in, he just, you know, they just were doing what they had to do and they were winning the game. Now he looks like he's just struggling. He's not hitting Kyle Rudolph anymore. Kyle Rudolph's disappeared. I don't think the Vikings have an overly impressive receiver core to begin with, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, let's just see how the rest of this goes out. But for now, you know, you got to be a little concerned. It may not be a stone cold lock like it looked.
The Minnesota Vikings this weekend will be hosting the Detroit Lions. Minnesota right now is a 6-point home favorite. Green Bay will be hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Green Bay is a 7-point favorite. So two games there where both the teams that we're talking about are, in fact, pretty heavy favorites to win their home games. So if we're taking it 1 week at a time, we'll see how that plays, as you point out. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think the Vikings have a little tougher matchup. I think Detroit's been playing pretty good, and it is a division game where, you know, Green Bay.
Indianapolis is horrible. Well, they're playing Green Bay. Minnesota's playing Detroit. Okay.
Yeah. I think they got a tougher draw. Okay. Even though the lines are about the same, I think the Detroit Tigers are Detroit Lions are a better team than the Colts right now. Plus, it's a home, you know, division rival. So, you know, I think that adds a little bit to the matchup. I'm surprised that's such a high line being a division game, but. Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Well, there you go. We have run through 90 minutes. I can't believe it, but we have. This one went particularly quick this week. Appreciate everybody who's been listening in this evening. I have gotten a few messages and Facebook messages, et cetera, that we've actually had a couple of new callers or new listeners this evening. So I appreciate that. Please tell your friends. And listen, do yourself an extra favor and tune in to our flagship program on Thursday night, our Frat House Sports Show, which you can hear right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got, number 268, I think, coming your way on Thursday night, over 5 years on the air. So Thursday night, 7 p.m., and then I'll be back here with you on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time for that one. All right, there you go. Hey, we got a World Series game tonight. Do or die again for the Chicago Cubs. Game 6, that one's going down right now, folks, so you want to get out there and check that out. I'm sure there's some NBA and NHL action as well. So, hey, you know what to do. Get out there and enjoy your sports.